This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Monday, July 8, 2013. Saturday night's rain helped slow down the West Fork Fire Complex, which on Sunday was holding steady at just over 110,000 acres and was about 28% contained. According to the Denver Post, the fire's only victim so far is a pump house. Fire behavior in both the east and west zones of the complex had calmed to the creeping and smoldering levels, though the fire's growth potential remains extreme. The size of a closed area in the Rio Grande National Forest was reduced over the weekend, while firefighters continue to protect structures in the Humphreys and Goose Creek Lake areas. Evacuations remain in place for the Humphreys area and on the north and east edges of the Papoose Fire, which through highways 149 and 160, are open for travel. Heavy holiday traffic was seen over the weekend. This week's forecast calls for a chance of thunderstorms around the fire area through this evening, with a drying trend beginning tomorrow. The chance for thunderstorms increases again later in the week. Forecasts are currently calling for calm winds after Wednesday night through the rest of the week. The Post also reports that in addition to fueling Colorado's wildfires, severe drought in some parts of the state has made hay prices skyrocket and forced horse owners to make some tough choices. According to the Post, horse owners are being forced to either sell their animals for low prices, euthanize them, or send them to Mexico or Canada to be slaughtered. Scott Dutcher, chief of the state's Bureau of Animal Protection, told the Post that low supplies of hay have caused prices to rise dramatically. That price, usually around $120 a ton, now sits at anywhere from $250 to $350 a ton. Horse owner Susie Walden said she can't grow hay herself because of the drought, and also can't afford the prices being charged by other growers. She had to give up three of her horses over the past year, sending two to be slaughtered outside the U.S. and selling a third at auction. A statistic from the U.S. Government Accountability Office shows that nearly 45% of horse owners make between $25,000 and $75,000 a year, making them less able to withstand the rising hay prices. The value of horses is reportedly dropping at the same time. New state laws designed to protect pregnant women from being targets of violence went into effect last week. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the laws create new crimes for harming pregnant women. The issue has become somewhat political, as Democrats who sponsored the bill strategically avoided language that would make it a crime to cause harm to the unborn child as well. Previous versions of similar laws proposed by Republicans failed to pass, mainly because opponents feared they could be used to give personhood to unborn children. Critics argue that would in turn pave the way for abortion bans. The new laws explicitly state that nothing in their wording should imply that an unborn child has those personhood rights. Republicans claim the move to include that language is a purely political one. Democrats also said opposition to their bill was only political, citing the two times that Colorado voters have rejected Republican versions of the same laws. Human remains of 26 bodies have been uncovered by school construction in Ignacio, and officials aren't sure what will happen to the remains or even whose they are. The Durango Herald reported Sunday that the bones could be a century old and that the land appears to have been a multi-ethnic burial ground. The first bones were discovered by construction workers in March. Construction workers uncovered those first human remains while laying a sewage line, part of a $14.9 million construction project for a new elementary school that is expected to open in August. Jan Smith, La Plata County coroner, said some of the bodies were determined to be American Indian. The school district has included the Southern Ute Tribe in the excavation. A spokesman for the Southern Ute Tribal Council declined to comment. The Denver Post reports there may still be remains to exhume. Coroner Smith said the excavation team had been, quote, working in one area so the school can go on with construction, but there's another area that hasn't even been touched yet. Last week, the first case of West Nile disease in Colorado was reported in Delta County. The Delta County resident, whose name was not released, actually developed West Nile virus fever, which is a less severe form of the disease, and recovered following a brief hospital stay. Rain Klepper, board president of the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District, submitted a situation update to the North Fork Merchant Herald outlining the district's efforts to prevent West Nile virus. According to the release, the district is currently testing every mosquito trap in the region for the virus, aiming to catch the very first positive mosquito in Delta County. The release also reports that thanks to cooler nighttime temperatures through June this year, mosquito development and appearance has been slower, whereas at this time last year, West Nile was already being found in many mosquito pools and humans. The district says it's expanding its monitoring of parks and outdoor areas this year and continues to set traps to help track down breeding areas for adult mosquitoes. Some places, such as the county fairgrounds and the baseball fields in Paonia, have been sprayed after exhausting other treatment options. The release also states that Ken Nordstrom, director for the Delta County Public Health Department, has assured the public that the North Fork Valley will not be sprayed from the air unless there is a serious outbreak of West Nile and other efforts have failed. Nordstrom has said there would have to be a clear threat of an epidemic for that to occur. Mosquito mapping efforts continue in Hotchkiss and Paonia along Union Pacific Railroad tracks, and a list of possible places to burn in later winter to prevent mosquito spreads is being compiled. And finally, we bring you another episode of Western Slope Skies from members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society.
While there are always objects of interest to see in the night sky throughout the year, the summer sky is unique in that it offers us a view into the very center of the Milky Way, our home galaxy. Two constellations in the direction of the Milky Way center are Scorpius and Sagittarius. If you can find a dark area with a good view to the south, you should be able to pick out the constellation Scorpius, the Scorpion. It is one of the few constellations that looks like its name. The tail is quite distinctive, looping down close to the horizon and then back up with two stars marking the stinger. The bright red-orange star in the middle of Scorpius is Antares. It is called the heart of the Scorpion because of its color and location in the constellation. Antares is a red supergiant, which is old age for a star. If it were located where our sun is, the Earth and even Mars would be inside the star. Just to the east of Scorpius is Sagittarius. Central to Sagittarius is an asterism called the Teapot. It consists of eight stars that form the handle, base, spout, and top of a teapot. The center of our galaxy is just to the west and north of the tip of the spout, where a supermassive black hole exists. The Milky Way black hole has a mass of about 4 million suns. Present theory is that most galaxies have a large black hole at their center. The center is about 26,000 light years from Earth. The closest star to the black hole is called S0102, and it orbits at 11 million miles per hour. Many star clusters and nebulae are concentrated around the Milky Way center. So on a clear and dark summer night, it is quite easy to observe 30 to 40 of these deep sky objects before midnight. You will have all summer to observe the center of the Milky Way. Remember to use dark nights with no moon. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Brian Cashin.
Western Slope Skies is produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society who take a look at our local night sky, keeping it local here. You can hear a replay of this episode on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. during Global Express. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.